Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Or just follow us.
Or both.
Twitter is at TNT Radio Empire. You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
Beatty's in the house. Adam Ferrara later on this morning. And
here to break down last night's home run derby.
Dr.
No. Mina.
Hey, Doc.
I did not watch that.
Good. Doc, was that a real glass of vodka you tweeted out the other night?
It was a shot of vodka, yeah.
All right. You were pissed off that I was diluting mine with the olives.
Why on earth would you do that?
I know.
Well, perfectly good cure-all, and you have to stick a couple of olives in it. I saw nothing in that article about putting olives in your vodka. I saw that it cures everything under the sun.
Yeah,
but,
and we're,
you know,
and we're sticking with that.
Yeah. Should we just go to that article right now?
Yeah, I read that putting olives makes it even healthier.
Oh, yeah, the Mediterranean vodka diet.
Yeah, well, a little olive and a blue cheese in there at the end. Maybe Mediterranean vodka. Yeah.
You got to have the blue cheese in the olive.
Oh, yeah, it's got to be blue cheese, for sure.
Let's talk about this article real quickly, because there were a lot of things that it said.
Well, you should see my face when bartenders say they don't have blue cheese olives.
I go, I know that face.
Yeah, it's like, you can't say that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The article was something that Craig covered. Last week,
yes,
I found on MSN. I put it on my personal page. I should have put it up on the show page. Seven ways vodka is great, not good, great for your health. And the way I rate this, Doc, is by how many shares it gets. And usually they don't share much on my page, but this one got 9 shares, so there must be something to it.
So first of all, it started off by saying vodka is heart healthy, that it increases blood flow and circulation, prevents clots, strokes, and other heart disease. This is based on a study that was done in cows with high cholesterol. So as a reminder, no matter what a guy says to you, you are not a cow. And this is probably not an equivalent comparison.
We are broadcasting to many cows with high cholesterol. I meant different. We're doing people a service here.
It said it could relieve stress, scientifically better to relieve tension than wine. That is not what the article said. If you go to the study, it's an open-labeled study of 11 people who filled out a questionnaire after either having vodka or wine and about their self-identified stress.
So you're saying this wasn't a real thorough study?
It did say it could be used as a skincare product, and I just would like to point out that if you're using vodka as your skincare product, you have a completely different set of problems. It could contribute to oral hygiene. And sure, you know, what we really love when we have to list your butt on a liver transplant list is for you to come in with your minty vodka fresh breath and
speaking
tell us about how we should give you a liver transplant.
Is this the reason liver cancer death rate has surged 43% in the U.S. in the last 16 years? Is that because of alcoholism, you think?
It could be part of it. Yeah. It could be part of it. Also could be, there's a lot of other things that can contribute to that. One of the most common causes is also hepatitis. Now, hepatitis is more treatable now, but I'm not quite sure what the rates of hepatitis are in the world overall.
Yeah. Is that diet, too? Can diet contribute to liver cancer?
If diet can contribute to liver problems like fatty liver disease, and that can actually cause liver failure. I'm not sure about the direct risk between fatty liver disease and liver cancer per se. Having liver failure does increase the risk of liver cancer as well, though.
Doesn't vodka just clean out your liver real good?
Oh, cleans it out great, let me tell you. And so then it also said that, you know, it reduces the risks associated with diabetes. So this, I'm going to call absolute BS on this, all because right. alcohol can
be... Absolute, by the way, is a brand of vodka.
Is that a flavor
my
they're making
sponsors,
now?
Sponsors, I'm sure. Yeah, the diabetes flavored.
Right, tastes like diabetes.
I like the absolute infused with BS.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Alcohol does decrease your transient blood sugar level. It is not a treatment for diabetes, nor does it prevent diabetes. Quite the opposite. If you're diabetic, you should be very, very careful about the amount of alcohol that you're intaking. It can really mess up your blood sugar levels, and this does not prevent diabetes at all. In fact, the other organ that that alcohol can affect is your pancreas, and with chronic pancreatitis, you can actually develop blood glucose problems and diabetes as well. So, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah, no.
No, you're not.
You're just a buzzkill.
No,
you're a buzzkill.
You love to come on here and rain on our parade.
Do you think alcohol has something to do with my insomnia, Doc?
We could talk about that. I'm sure there are probably other contributors to the insomnia. Yeah. I seem to be suffering from it quite a bit these days,
too. So we're in the same boat. I got it. But yeah, I drank last night. That might have been a problem. But I got a little insomnia.
You know,
my wife told me I don't. She goes, no, you don't. Just so I'm fine, I guess. Don't get me
there,
started.
There is,
don't even get me started.
If you have problems staying asleep, is insomnia?
Yeah, that's part. Is insomnia? Are you awake all night? Insomnia, or can you wake up and can't fall back to sleep?
No, I think what you got.
Wake up
because I do fall asleep once in a while. I do get some sleep, but
it sounds like you have a classic case of it.
I thought so. All right.
There's people will say that they wake up, their mind is racing,
yes,
they can't go to sleep,
it's my
they're
mind.
Thinking about things.
Yep.
Yeah.
I got a busy mind.
And that is.
Yeah.
It is. And there are, Mike, I'll shoot you a message.
Do that.
There are things that you can,
please.
That I think probably more people need to be doing, to be completely honest, to sort of help with that. And it's not an immediate fix there. It's more of a gradual process, but it can get better.
Drink till you pass out.
No, but then you wake
up. Then you wake up again.
No, I always wake up.
I never did.
Thank you, Dr. Pete.
You guys know that, though.
There was a story that last time you'd asked me about, and I had to go back and actually hear the story that was done because I'd missed the podcast. But it was, I guess there was a Kansas, I'm not quite sure what level of legislator had said that I think at massage parlors they should be able to do, I don't know.
It was a guy actually testifying in front of a... a town hall.
Yeah,
and
Kansas.
And he
City
was
Council.
Saying, he said, what's the big deal? Two consenting adults with a handy. And
one of the things that bugged me, though, was that he said that it was the same as doing a medical exam, like a proctologist.
Yeah, he did say that, like what you do, right. Right.
Right. Right. And I just want to say that was the one thing that bugged me about that.
It's not true.
It is really dangerous to say, to make that assertion, because it really jeopardizes the viewpoint of the standard medical exam. And the standard medical exam is important. I mean, we do need to touch your body. We do need to do an exam sometimes.
Yes,
and
you
we're
do.
Not, there's nothing sexual about
no,
it.
No, you're right. I agree with you, because we've all had the finger, and in both situations.
And women,
and
you need to have mammograms.
Sexual, one is sexual, and one is not. And you're right. There's
a
whole mindset.
Women need to have mammograms. Exactly.
Right.
It is a very different experience, trust me.
Yes.
When I am a physician in an office doing an exam versus, you know, when I'm pressing up against your back, whispering in your ear, and we're doing an exam. Totally different.
What a boner.
All right. So let's move on now.
What?
You woke up Craig.
After that?
You whispered in Craig's ear.
What are you doing?
I think a lot of our listeners were really excited about that little conversation.
Right, let's not move on. Let's take it to the next level. So what's that
you
want to
find out what I have on under my white coat, maybe?
Maybe.
All right, now.
Yes, it fits.
Speaking about that, there was also a story that was done about, I guess there was a woman whose partner overdosed on heroin, and she tried to stick an ice cube into his butt.
Right.
Does that work? To counteract the overdose of heroin.
We're still wondering on that.
So, I first of all...
Does that work for insomnia? I might try it.
definitely doesn't work for insomnia. For the love of God, do not do heroin. But if you're going to do heroin and you find that you or your addict buddy has overdosed,
right,
none of your top responses should be to shove anything in their butt. And by the way, it's really hard to get an ice cube to stay up there.
Oh, it slips right out. Yeah, it's a good natural
absolutely
lube, I guess. Yeah.
Really?
What you, you need to do is call 911 immediately. And if you have access to naloxone and you need to and you feel comfortable giving it to somebody, please do. But because this is a medical emergency,
right,
and it is treatable, it is potentially life saving if you know a first responder can get there right away. But don't try to fix this problem with any home remedy that you might have heard of or have looked up. Please just get a medical official involved right away.
Oh, you can't take him over to Tim Roth's house and he plunges a giant...
That's not true.
He's got a syringe full of...
No, it's actually Eric Stoltz's house.
Oh, Eric Stoltz's
house. Eric Stoltz's house, sir. Yeah.
That Pulp Fiction...
No.
Yeah. That doesn't work.
No, not the Pulp. The Pulp Fiction is much like, you know, every ER episode, a little bit overdramatic.
A little bit. Okay.
Yeah, the naloxone is actually a nasal mist. It's pretty. I mean, people wake up unhappy,
right,
but they're going to. It is going to be reversible. And just as a reminder, that it is available in many states. It is because an opioid overdose is a medical emergency.
Yes, it is.
And so there are a number of states that have made naloxone available not just to first responders and police, but also even to pharmacies.
Is that pretty much nationwide now? Because it's a nationwide problem.
No, I'll post a map, and unfortunately there are some states that do not have it available, have not approved it, and Nebraska is one of them.
What the hell's wrong with them?
Well, it's Nebraska. It's rickets.
Yes.
They always say, well, just encourage people to have heroin. How about parents
that is
want
not
their,
true.
Their kids want to live. They want their kids
no,
to live.
This is the same argument that they make for not providing birth control or not providing clean needle exchanges. And there's study after study after study that this in no way increases the rates of sex or increases the rates of drug abuse. In fact, what it does is it prevents outbreaks of STDs, it prevents unwanted pregnancies, it prevents AIDS and HIV epidemics in this country, and it also brings people to the attention of folks who can get them help, so that if they have an opioid addiction, they can actually get help instead of dying. And,
yes,
you know, this is a real, true epidemic,
yeah,
and so we should be using our very best resources to address this and not just stigmas. Because we know that stigmas are not correct and that they can cost people lives.
Yeah, people are going to do heroin. People
not
are going to have
life.
Sex.
Not here. Not here we don't. We don't do either. No sex, no heroin.
No heroin. Right. Of course, never. So there was also a question about these Thai boys, I guess in Thailand they call them boys,
yeah,
who were stuck in the cave.
Yeah.
And what are the most harmful cave diseases?
Yeah.
So it's actually not rabid bats, because my understanding is all of them now live in Mike's house.
And they go to the Humane Society, and then they get lost.
They get lost.
Yeah, then they get lost, and then we have to go through the whole how long can I wrestle a raccoon.
Yeah, at least bitch. I was shaking back then.
So rabies is very rare, but there are other either funguses or bacteria or tick-borne illnesses. So there's histoplasmosis, leptospirosis. There's actually the Ebola virus. This is mostly in caves that are in Africa. And then something called cave fever, which is a tick-borne illness. And all of these can cause, some of these are untreatable, and people will have relapses of fevers, feeling sick, headaches, joint pains, etc.
How about were they breathing just recycled air the whole time too? That was probably a bad thing also, right?
Well, I mean, I think that there were actually, my understanding, because there were actually openings outside they were worried about the monsoon rains coming in from various places, not just the entrance to the cave.
Got it.
But you do have all of these are transmitted by either dead animals or their droppings, and all of them are in there. And if you're in there for a prolonged amount of time and you're not wearing a mask or you don't have gloves, you're going to be exposed. And so these kids actually, I think, were kept in kind of a quarantine for a few days after they were recovered, just so that they could make sure they wouldn't spread this and they could be treated appropriately. And then, yes, there is a concern when people haven't eaten for a long time about what's called refeeding syndrome, where they get as much food as they want, but it's actually too rich of food for a system that hasn't been exposed to food for a prolonged amount of time, and then people can die.
Well, America doesn't have that problem. We're all fat, apparently.
No, we don't. But we did see this a lot, unfortunately, at the end of World War II, when you had people who'd been rescued from concentration camps, and American soldiers just felt so terrible, and they were just giving them whatever food they had, and they were giving them candy bars and other stuff, and then these people would eat it, and they would die, unfortunately.
Oh, jeez.
So you need to be careful about the type of food and how much food you're giving them. And there's sort of like, you know, there are protocols for somebody who's very malnourished, somebody who's been starving, and how you basically avoid refeeding syndrome for them. So a lot of things that they had to take care of for these kids. Let's see. Oh, there was another question about how many people
actually... And we bitch when pushes out of trail mix, we get mad.
and don't eat the soft trail mix. Oh, for the love of God.
Oh, God. Mushy trail mix. Not good.
It was pretzels, not trail mix.
Whatever.
There was a question about how many people died from lack of abortion or unsafe abortions prior to Roe v. Wade.
Right.
And I will an article, an article about this. But in 1965, illegal abortions accounted for approximately 17% of all officially reported pregnancy-related deaths.
Jeez, 17%.
And that is probably a huge underestimate because, remember, these were officially reported pregnancy-related deaths. There are far more of these illegal abortions that were likely not reported. So 17%. In comparison, in 2012, only 4 deaths resulted as a result of abortions. These are now legally induced or medically induced abortions, 4 deaths total. So, and also a second important point to make is that the burden of injury and death from an unsafe abortion does not fall equally to all women. It's going to be more poor, lower-income women and women of color who do not have the means to get something safe. So this is a real problem. And this is something that I think, you know, every person, not just women, but every person needs to be concerned about is what's going on here. Somebody told me I should stay in my lane and not be political, but unfortunately, it's a medical issue.
Thing. I retweeted last night. You talk about people's health, and if people take that political, that's on them, not on you. Because you talk about you want people to be healthy and live life, and you've always done that.
Let me tell you, I would love to be able to get off Twitter. I would love to just go do my research and take care of my patients in my office and teach the students.
And whisper in your husband's ear, too, right?
or yours, whatever. Yeah, I can come over.
I know.
My care of people does not end in the office or in the hospital. My care of people extends out to every single person because I can't take care of you if guns are killing you or if you don't have access to health care or if there is incorrect medical information that's out there. It's a real
She's referring
problem.
To, there was a tweet last night because we said Dr. Meehan was coming on. One guy on the Twitter said, she's real. I love Dr. Meehan except when she gets political. I said, that means you love her until you disagree with her. So shut up. She cares about you. She cares about health.
It's okay. I'm being told to stay in my lane. And I just promptly tell them they can kiss my butt, but that's okay.
And you don't say butt either. You swear, man.
Oh, I do.
Sometimes Dr. Mina cares too much.
Which is nice.
There's one other issue. Well, there were two other things, but just one thing. I actually taught about this yesterday. It was the last point I made in a lecture to students. And this is about something that's called the National Guideline Clearinghouse, or NGC. And this is it's a federally funded resource that's available worldwide. It's funded by the Agency for Healthcare Quality and Research and Quality, or HRQ. It's been around for over 20 years, and it was basically a list of all evidence-based medicine and guidelines based on evidence-based medicine.
For example,
if you wanted to start insulin on an elderly person, if you wanted to understand how to treat an AIDS person who doesn't have healthcare or lives in lower income, if you wanted to know the appropriate guidelines for pediatric care, for pediatric brain tumors, you could go there and you could get a list, you could get the best evidence-based medicine, the most up-to-date evidence-based medicine. It went dark yesterday. The federal government stopped funding it.
Unbelievable.
The funding for it was only $1.2 million. That is all they needed. This has been continuing. Yeah, 1.2 million.
That's
not
a golf
billion,
trip.
Not trillion.
That's a golf
yeah,
trip.
That is.
That's a golf trip.
Now, to put this in perspective, AHRQ has been under attack for a while because evidence-based medicine does not always say that a certain drug or a certain pharmaceutical's medication is the first priority or the first thing we should do. It says this is what the best evidence-based medicine says. And so there's been pressure from lobbyists that we shouldn't be funding this, we shouldn't be publishing this, and at least from the government. And we've seen this before. We've seen this with gun violence research and how the federal government was told to stop funding gun violence research.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah.
So this research is dark now. It's not available. And that's very unfortunate and detrimental to people's health, to be completely honest.
All right, tell us something that'll make Tyler sleep better tonight.
I'll send him something.
Oh, yes.
It will not be a dink pic. It will be something
else. I don't want
else.
A dink pic. That's, I get that from these guys. All right. Thank you, Doc. Love you.
I love you guys.
All right.
Take care.
All right. Whisper in my ear, I'll fall asleep. Not you guys. That keeps me awake.
I think you need more than the whisper in the ear.
Yeah, you're right, I do.
You need the finger.
In the ear.
No, not
whatever.
The ear. Nah. A little below the ear.
I think he'd take whatever he can get.
Way below the ear. In the mouth.
Why didn't that? Why'd you have to be playing music? That could have been the best
All
clip
right.
ever.
Love Doc Mina. She tweets at Doctors Mina, right?
That is correct.
All right. We tweet at TNT Radio Empire. It's Tan Line Tuesday.
You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.